dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we also may be glorified with him.
So, Paul is talking about our Monday morning dilemma. On the one hand, that Jesus has died and risen again, we have that assurance, but we live in a world under condemnation. Just take a look at chapter 7, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war. So there are two laws here, two principles, two ways to live. On the one hand, we've got the law of God. That's just like on the side of the screen, what is it? On that side, going, Jesus has died and risen again. That's the law of God. Everything to do with God is on that side. But then I see in my members, my body, another law that's on this side, waging war against the law of my mind. This is the Monday morning dilemma, right? You wake up and you go, I know that Jesus died, but unfortunately, I still sin. I still fail. I still fear. I'm still anxious. I'm still in this world under condemnation. So how are we to live? So Paul says, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then in verse 25, at the end, the second half, he says, so then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, and with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Don't we all have exactly this experience of going, on the one hand, I genuinely want to be a better Christian. I really want to be on this side. Only to find that I'm the one that gets in the way. My self prevents me from enjoying God more. So last week, yes, we were saying, I want to receive and enjoy the "it is finished" of my salvation. I'm saved. But the trouble is that it's me that prevents me from enjoying that more. I'm constantly failing. I know that starting Monday morning, I will fail as a believer. How frustrating is that? And sometimes we consciously fail. Think about Peter, right? He was so enthusiastic to, yes, I'm going to follow Christ to the end. And he went to where Jesus was being, after the arrest, he went to the courtroom. Well, he's still outside. But he was there all right. And then when someone accused him, I'm sure that Peter was about to say, yes, I'm with Jesus. But of course he didn't, right? Three times he did not. Well, we do that. I know I will do that tomorrow morning, right? I will not only constantly fail, I'll consciously fail. So much of the time I'm on that side, living in this world under condemnation and failing myself. We live in this sinful, messy world, in this Monday morning dilemma, where we face these fears and failures and disappointments. We suffer pain, bereavement, we're full of anxieties and insecurities. And tomorrow morning, you are going to have to face another week just like this. The believer's life is messy. Paul wants to do something about it, but can't. He doesn't have it in himself to do anything about it. So, what do we do? Verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But Paul then gives the answer, and this is what we really want to focus on tonight. Verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm still in this world under condemnation. But through Jesus Christ, we do have the victory over sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation. So we have a new paradigm here. On the one hand, yes, Jesus has died and risen again. So on that side, nothing changes. But now there's an and on this side. There is now no condemnation. Before, we live in a world under condemnation, and to a certain extent, that doesn't change. But we have the assurance that in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation. And again, I've stolen Michael's image. Do you see that on this side? His Ecclesiastes image of going from living under the sun in a world under condemnation to living in a world beyond the sun, knowing that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, how do we then live? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What impact does that have? What impact does "it is finished"? There is now no condemnation. What impact does that have tomorrow morning and for the rest of the week? Five things. First of all, because I am in Christ, I am set free. So this is the first couple of verses in chapter 8, and we'll focus on verse 2. I tell you what would help me is if you could read it with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So the first impact that it has is that because I'm in Christ, I am set free. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free. So in other words, remember we were talking about these two laws or two principles, two ways to live. The one on this side, the fact that Jesus has died and risen again, our salvation is finished, that has set me free from this side, the law of sin and death. The Old Testament law, what could it do? It's up there as a standard. You and I can't reach that standard. Whatever we do, we can't get there. So what can the law actually do? All the law can do is condemn us. All it can do is stare down at us and say, you will never reach the standard. It will just condemn us. But the law of the Spirit of life, the it is finished, has set us free in Christ Jesus from that condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We're forgiven sinners. We're protected from the condemnation that's due all sinners. We're set free. Just imagine a medieval king judge. So this king, he owns the whole of the country, the whole of the state, the province. And he's the judge. He decides on everything. And you have the misfortune of just committing a capital crime. Okay, that may be a bit far-fetched, but there you are. You're trembling before the king judge, knowing that you're guilty. What will the king judge do? And to your surprise, the king judge turns to you and goes, your crime has already been paid for. You are set free. Take the handcuffs off. You are not guilty. So suddenly, you who were in this terrible state, fearing the worst, you're suddenly set free. The king judge has declared you not guilty. And that's exactly what it is like with us and God. We who were lost, God's enemies and rebels, have not only been forgiven, but we've been declared not guilty for all time, no matter what. In Christ, I am set free. So there is now no condemnation for those who are, what does it say? In Christ Jesus. It's no longer me over here and Jesus over here. It's now I am in Christ. When God looks on me, he doesn't see me, he sees Christ. He looks on Christ and pardons me. Christ has already suffered for my sin, and because I am hidden in him, I am set free. So, tomorrow morning, when you wake up in your groggy state, how can we be so overwhelmed by thankfulness to God? Thankful that we've been set free from condemnation. And then live it out. Live out being free. And I think the best thing is to imagine I was under condemnation. But now the prison door is open. The handcuffs are off. I am free. Take that into our week. Be overwhelmed by thankfulness to God and then live it out. So, what does your life look like Monday to Saturday knowing that you've been set free? You're no longer under condemnation. Then second, what impact does it is finished have on Monday morning? Because I'm in Christ, I am secure. So this is the next verse. And again, could you read out verse 3 with me? For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So the point here is that God has done what the law could not do. So all the law could do was condemn me. But what God has done, see what it says, is God has condemned sin. So God has destroyed my sin so that I could go free. The key thing here is it's God has done it. He's done it. It's finished. It's completed. Something only God can do, and he's done it so that it's that I am completely secure in this new state. Thanks to Jesus' it is finished, I've been set free from the demands and the condemnation of the law. I can't obey the law, but I don't have to obey the law to earn my salvation. And now, nothing shall separate me from the love of Jesus. I'm totally secure. However I'm feeling on that Monday morning, even whatever I'm thinking or whatever I'm doing, he's got hold of me. It's not a matter of me holding on to him so much as him holding on to me. No condemnation, this being on this side of the fence, is not a temporary state. It's a declaration that will never be removed. It's a permanent state of salvation. And even though I will sin again, it doesn't change my state, my position of being completely forgiven and under this banner of no condemnation. So let's go back to the king judge. So there I am, the prison doors are open, my handcuffs are off, I am set free, and now I have a new passport because God has given me this new identity. I'm secure in the love of Christ. I'm set free, and now I'm secure. The third impact, what impact does it have on Monday morning? Because I am in Christ, I am set on Jesus. So this is the next section, 5-8, and we're going to look particularly, let's read verse 5 together. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And then later it says, to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So now I am in Christ, my mind is set on the things of Christ. My eyes are fixed on him who is the starter and the finisher of our faith. I'm set free and I'm secure in Christ. And as such, I am completely free to do what I want. You are free to do what you want in Christ. The irony here is that my mind is set on what he wants. So what he wants is what I want. I do what I want, and I want to follow Jesus. It's funny, isn't it? Because as soon as you say you're free to do what you want, our sinful minds always go, great, I'll rob a bank. No. I do what I want, and I want to follow my Lord Jesus. That's the work that God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. And I want to follow him because if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? So back to the judge. He's set us free. He's given me our passport for security. And now I set my mind to serving him. It's as if the forgiven criminal, that's you say to him, don't set me free to wander off. Set me free to serve you. So Monday morning comes, and we're saying, Lord, help me this week to set my mind on Christ. Redeem my thoughts that I am focused on serving you beyond anything else. The Bible talks about setting our minds on Christ or on things above and not on earthly things. So that's, I think, all about priorities. Lord, may my priorities be godly and not governed by my sinful self. So, what does your life look like Monday to Saturday? With my mind set on serving him. Then, number four, what impact does it is finished have on Monday morning? Because I'm in Christ, I am spirit-filled. So this is the next section, 9-11, and we're going to focus on verse 11, if you can read that with me. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So God's provision, God's gift for weak Christians like you and me is the Holy Spirit. It's actually himself. What an incredible gift. He gives me life, even though I live in a world that's under condemnation, and I myself can't keep up with those standards. But he gives me his Spirit to help me put aside anything that would come between me and Jesus. He helps me grow to become more like Jesus. He helps me to look backwards with gratitude, forward with hope, and to look up with confidence. It's just as if the King, who has set me free, he's given me my passport as security. I've now set my mind to serve him. And then what? He's given me a protector, a bodyguard, a counselor, a guide, a shepherd. And who is it? It's himself. The Holy Spirit is in me. It's in you when we're in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in us. You are not alone. So how does your life look now, Monday to Saturday? Set free, secure, your mind set on Christ, and now you have the Holy Spirit in you. And embrace the fact that you're not alone. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not facing this week on my own. But also, verse 13, just check this out. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Lord, work in me to put to death the misdeeds of the body. Help me get tough on my self-pity, on my self-indulgence, on my self-obsession. The me, me, me. Lord, help me to get tough on all of that. So that rather than being on this side of the fence, Lord, I can be serving you with my mind set on you, delighted in the it is finished. And then lastly, what impact does it is finished have on Monday morning? Because I am in Christ, I am a son, or as it says later, a child, but son starts with S, so I chose that. Because I'm in Christ, I am a son. And if you can read with me now, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So we've been set free. We're secure. We've set our minds on following Christ. We've been given his Spirit. And now we're a son. It's as if our king judge has said, oh, and by the way, here are the keys to the mansion. Oh, your bedroom's over there. Oh, don't worry, you're in my will. See you at dinner. It's literally, God has given us an inheritance of heaven. I mean, this is the most extraordinary thing, isn't it? And I don't think, and I don't know about you, if you really appreciate what it is to be a member of God's family. Tim, you said it this morning, something like that Jesus is, I can't remember what it was, that we are being part now, we are part of God's family. We're sons, daughters, we're children within his family. It's absolutely remarkable. We have a new status, a new identity, a new future. And we're even heirs of heaven. He's written us into his will. So, Monday morning comes. Bleary-eyed though we may be, rejoice that God has redeemed you and made you his child. How does that change Monday to Saturday? Suddenly, yeah, we're not in church. We're out in a world which is under condemnation. We ourselves are constantly struggling with sin, but that doesn't matter. You are still in God's family. Your status, your identity doesn't change. You're part of God's family. You are a son or a daughter. So, what impact does it is finished have on Monday morning? Because I am in Christ, I am set free, secure, set on Jesus, spirit-filled, and a son. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And these five things describe what that means and give us the assurance, the confidence, the hope to go into this week in the sure knowledge that Christ has died and it means so much, it changes everything for the week ahead, even though we are living in a world under condemnation and we ourselves are in this fight, this battle against our sinful selves. So, live in thankfulness, live in security, with godly priorities, not alone, and full of rejoicing. Let's pray, and I'll hand back to Tim. Father, we pray that we would take "it is finished" into this week. We thank you that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Please may you engrave that on our minds for this week and help us to chew it over and think it through what that means and how it changes our lives. We thank you and we praise you for this amazing gift. Amen.